right now. We hope that you would enjoy our message by our very own children's director, Lisa.
That was so cute. Zion, I hadn't seen that yet. That was very precious. Oh, I love it. Wow. Guys, I have been dreaming about that, and kids and grandparents and mummies and so many people. You brought that to life. Thank you so much. That was great. Let's give a hand for the promise. Everybody involved. I want to tell you about a very special promise. This promise was given back in the book of Genesis, and the entire Bible points to this promise. And this promise has been fulfilled and is being fulfilled and will be fulfilled. This promise was the birth of a baby. Does anyone know the name of that baby?
Jesus.
Shout it out.
Jesus.
It's like the guaranteed answer when a Sunday school teacher asks a question, right? Baby Jesus. That's right. Baby Jesus born in a manger. My mom and dad used to tell me this story when I was little, and even my grandparents would tell me this story. I know that my children will tell their children, and I hope that each one of you in this room will learn a little bit more about the story of Jesus in order to be able to share it with someone that you know. How many of you have ever held a baby in your arms? I just love the feeling of holding a baby. I had a baby. I actually had a few. I know what it's like to hope for a baby, to carry that baby inside my body, and then to have that baby born and grow up in my home day by day. For those of you who don't know me yet, my name is Lisa Huber, and I am the Children's Ministry Director, hi, sweetie, here at KWCF. I am married to a loving man named Brian, and together we have four children. Alyssa is 11. The twins, Noah and Abigail, are 10, and our youngest is Megan. She's 8. When I was reflecting on the story of the birth of Jesus, there were a few parts of the Christmas story that deeply touched my heart because of our family's experience in welcoming our fourth child, Megan, into this world. I'd like to tell you a little bit more about Megan's story. And in the process, it is my goal to help you understand a little bit more about how the birth of Jesus brings hope, peace, joy, and love into our lives today, on the great days, and perhaps even most especially in times when we are struggling and feeling broken. So sit back, relax, put an arm around someone you love, and let's look at this story. I'm going to start with my biggest box here. This box, I wasn't sure if I should say, do you want to build a snowman? This box here reminds us that the promise is spoken. God declared hope long before it arrived. I said earlier that the birth of Jesus was spoken about way before he was born. Incredible, hey? Back in Genesis, Adam and Eve were told of a baby who would one day crush evil. That's cool. Prophets across the Old Testament spoke of a baby that would be born who would be called Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah wrote, "For to us a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his reign, there will be no end." What a promise. My family knows what the promise of a baby is like. In fall of 2016, I received a very specific prophecy at a church service with my 2.5-year-old Alyssa and twin 1.5-year-old beside me. A woman of God spoke to my belly and said, "Baby, tucked in and safe." Whoa, how did she know we wanted a fourth child? Most people thought we were likely done having kids for a bit, having our hands rather full. But God knew our hearts deeply desired one more. It's time for the next box. This one reminds us that the promise is not just spoken, but the promise is born. Jesus came into our broken world. As Joseph and Mary journeyed to Bethlehem, I wonder if they ever prayed and asked God to reveal more of his plan to them. After all, they had no place to stay in Bethlehem. No room, no bed, no proper place for a baby to be born, and not just any baby. The Messiah. The Savior was on his way into the world, and the plan seemed to be crumbling beneath them. I wonder if Mary was ever tempted to question, did God actually say? I can imagine her in deep emotion, surrendering to God's promise that was spoken as she delivered the Messiah and wrapped him in cloth and placed him in the feeding trough of animals to sleep. Have you ever received a promise from God and then circumstances around you seemed against this promise in every way? Have you ever had to hold tight to his promise, knowing that he is able to make it happen when he has spoken? My family has. You see, Megan's pregnancy and birth were far outside of what was expected. Our doctors told us that their best guess was that she would be incredibly unhealthy. Our doctors told us that she was likely not going to be able to be delivered safely. But we had a promise from God to hold on to. Baby, tucked in, and safe. Even the morning of June 8, we watched two senior doctors at McMaster arguing about the plan for the birth of this baby, both of them very frustrated with each other and confused. There was no bed for her in the NICU. There was an argument about if and when, how is this going to happen for her to be born? And Brian and I battled to keep our faith and hope in the promise of God. I remember the place I was sitting in that room, waiting, listening to the doctors arguing, and placing my hands on my belly, reminding myself of God's promise, baby, tucked in and safe. Brian and I reminded ourselves that God had promised our child would be safe. And we held tightly to that promise, believing our baby would be safe in our arms that very day. God's promise brought peace to us. Sure enough, as God had promised, our Megan Victoria was safely delivered, then whisked away to the NICU and began a journey of passing every single one of her medical tests. We stayed in the hospital for 6 days, but the length of time was simply because the MRI machine was broken. With a mostly clean bill of health and some follow-up appointments, we were all sent home to begin our life as a family of six. We praised God, knowing he had fulfilled his promise to us. You know, sometimes when God answers our prayers in a big way, that's the end of the story. Yay! And sometimes it's not. For Joseph and Mary, they were told that baby Jesus was in danger. An angel told Joseph to quickly take his family and escape to Egypt to protect the Messiah from King Herod's anger, because King Herod was mad that a baby had been born who might end up being more powerful than him. And the last thing that any king wants to hear is that someone might have more power than him. For our family, we spent 6 months in beautiful peace with our four children. It was busy. It was crazy. Four kids under 3.5 years old. A day in our home was Words can hardly do it justice. So fun, so unique. And then December 1st happened. And it felt like everything began to unravel. In the span of 2 weeks, we discovered that Megan could only see out of one eye, and her body began to experience a unique form of seizure called infantile spasm. We called them tight hugs to Megan's older siblings because during them, we needed to notice the time, how long they lasted, sometimes take a video, and we needed to wait until they were over because every single time she would go to sleep for a very long time. Before I tell you a little bit more about this, I think it's time to get the last box. I hope that's okay with you. Whoo! This one reminds us that the promise is alive. God is still working in our lives today. We knew God had spoken promises over Megan's life, but now that she had been born safely, was that all God had promised? Did he have anything more to say? God, why would you bring us this far and then take it all away again? Throughout the month of December, Megan went through tests. She started medicines that mostly worked. Then over that Christmas holiday season, not even a month after the seizures started, the doctors recommended a very big deal treatment with medicine that would be long-term harmful to Megan's body. But it would stop the chaotic, disorganized brainwave patterns that continued constantly. Instead of starting in late December, the doctors gave us a week between Christmas and New Year's. If the brain hypsarrhythmia stopped within a week, no life-changing medical treatment. If the brain hypsarrhythmia continued, we would need to start. What did we do? We called all of our family, friends, they called family and friends, and they called family and friends, and the next thing we knew, there were people from Victoria, BC, all the way to the East Coast, and even some people in the United States and overseas praying daily for Megan. For that whole week, we prayed and prayed and prayed. And do you know what's really cool? We wouldn't even make KWCF our home church until early 2025. And yet, over the Christmas holidays, 2017, there are some of you here right now who didn't yet know us, but you were part of this amazing group praying for this little baby named Megan who needed the healing power of Jesus. When we saw the doctors 1 week later, in January 2018, Megan's brainwaves had settled. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. Oh. Since this miracle, it has not been smooth sailing every moment. You see, in our life, the promise was spoken, the promise was born, and now we were learning what the promise is alive means. It means the journey isn't over. Remember when I told you that Joseph was visited by an angel telling him to take Mary and baby Jesus to Egypt? I wonder if they had to take a deep breath and remember that the safety of baby Jesus, the Savior of the world, was ultimately in the hands of God. When they lost Jesus in Jerusalem when he was a boy, did they think, oh no, we really did it now? We lost the Messiah because we thought he was with the grandparents. Did they blame each other? Did they blame themselves? I know how easy it is to lose hold of my faith, my anchor, when the waves and the wind of life hit. Reminding myself that the promise is alive means surrounding myself with family and friends who point me to a God who loves my family and I, cares for my family and I, heals my family and I, and never leaves us alone. I want to tell you the best part of this story. Even through so many ups and downs, confusion and joy, sadness and celebration, Brian and I came to a point in Megan's medical journey where we felt God was leading us to say yes to a surgery that one doctor wanted us to say no, and another doctor said, meh, 50-50. This surgery involved Megan's brain, and this was a very, very, very hard thing to choose, but we felt it was the right thing. On November 25, 2020, we took our three-year-old into the hospital for a cyst fenestration, a very big word for a very big surgery. After the surgery, Megan had to fight to learn to hold her head up again, to sit up again, to walk again, all the month before Christmas. Again, it seemed like a Christmas season stolen for our family. But do you know what? God is a redeemer. We still have the Christmas tree that we purchased that year as a surprise for the kids. We have started new traditions to celebrate health and family, and just recently celebrated 5 years since Megan's surgery. We have seen Megan able to do more than we ever thought. The best of all is her understanding of God's love for her and her beautiful ability to pray in the most unique Megan way that brings all of us joy. Megan's story is still being written. Alyssa, Noah, Abby's stories are still being written. And each of you has a story that is still being written. Wow, this is an exciting life, full of purpose and hope in God. Do you know who else's story has a really cool part coming? Baby Jesus. You see, baby Jesus didn't stay a baby. It's a bit of a long story, so come back on Sunday mornings and we'll tell you a little bit more each week. But baby Jesus grew up to be a man, and that man, the Son of God, taught us so much about God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Wow. And then he gave himself as the ultimate sacrifice, dying on the cross to pay for the price for our sins, bringing us close to God. Double wow. He didn't stay dead. Come back at Easter and we'll talk more about how he rose from the dead. Triple wow. And someday, get this, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, uncles and aunts, boys and girls, every single person in this place, get this, Jesus is coming back again. This is our hope. This is our promise. The promise is spoken. The promise is born. The promise is alive. Amen. I was asked once, why children's ministry? And I kind of said, yeah, I know. No. You know, I love children's ministry, and this morning is just a piece of it. There is a way that children look that they want to know and they want to learn. And they don't just want to learn up in their heads. They want to experience. And I am so thankful for the children's ministry here. The volunteers that have been here long before I was even here. The kids who have opened their arms to me, to my family, and to each other. God calls us to become like children. So adults, we are called to become like children, to follow him. Wow. And you know, I think one of the best ways to learn how to do that is to watch the kids, to be close to the kids, to learn from them even, sometimes. But to be open to talking about these big things in little bite-sized pieces. And that, for me, is what children's ministry is. It's a way that we get to point these children to God to set them up for what is coming in the rest of their lives. So I'm pretty excited about that. Before we close the service, I want to talk a little bit about what the party's going to be like, and then Pastor Ken's going to come up to close in prayer. But I want you guys to know that we have prepared for you. We have prayed for you. We are excited you are here. And we're really happy that at least one parent is going to stay with your group of children. So down in the children's party that we're going to have downstairs when we celebrate joy and peace and hope and all the things, mums and dads, grandmas and grandpas, if you have one kid or you have five kids, one adult needs to stay with your group of kids. We have some zones downstairs. You're going to go between the different zones. Think of it kind of like an open house or like kind of a carnival. Just visit the four or five different stations. And then when you're done, there will be a gift and a little snack on your way out of the party. All right? So we're going to be doing that between services. We're so excited to have each of you here. And just before we dismiss for the party, adults who do not have a child that you are responsible for, we're so happy you're here as well. Enjoy the cafe. Linger a little bit. We're going to be just handing out some conversation cards that you can ask each other because we want you to hang out for a little bit. without any further delay, Pastor Ken, would you come up and close the service before we have our kids' party?
Well, I think we can clap a little harder and longer for all the kids and all we've had this morning. These kids will never forget this morning. When I was sitting watching the program, it took me back, I hate to say this, 70 years. And I was on stage, and I had a little thing I had to memorize, King Herod. And the memory, or the little thing I said was, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me news that I may go and worship him also. I still remember it. Still remember standing on stage, frightened by saying it, wondering what in the world diligently meant. But I got it out. I said last week, and you've heard me different times, children are not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. And as Jesus gave room for children, we feel like we can take a Sunday out of the year and let the children lead the service. And this has been a tremendous, I've enjoyed it tremendously. I've just glanced around, and while your smiles on your faces, I know you enjoyed it as well. Thank you, Lisa, for sharing that message at the end. Powerful, powerful message of the promise that was given to her. Baby, tucked away and safe. The promise of Christmas is that God loves us all, and he wants us to be safe, and he has a plan and purpose for your life. He has a promise for you, and I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey, but God wants to make himself real to you. And I pray this Christmas there'd be a renewal of faith, renewal of commitment to the Lord, that you will follow him. I think of the verse in Jeremiah that says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God's got a future and a hope for every person here, from the youngest to teenagers to middle-aged to older. God has a promise for you, and my prayer as I close the service is that you will experience it, hold on to it, and embrace it, and see the fulfillment of it in your life. Let's stand together right now. So this party is for both services. It's going to be between the services. This is all going to start again at 11:30. And if you want to come in for a second dose, you're welcome. But we're going to enjoy the fellowship upstairs and the parents and children downstairs. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the truth that has been expressed. And Lord, I ask that you would just be with us today and make yourself real. You are present. You're in this place. Your promise is real to us, the promise of salvation, the promise of healing, the promise of answered prayer. Lord, we lay hold of those promises right now and we embrace them. And may each person experience the fulfillment of your promise in their life. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. All right.